Amen. Satan's got some promises in there. It belonged to him. We have other promises. Praise the Lord Jesus. Sister Regina, why don't you come real quick? So good to see Sister Rebecca and her husband. I forget your name, brother. I'm so sorry. It's good to have you here with us. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Good afternoon. You know me, two things. The testimony that Brother Ryan so nicely printed up for me and typed, and I passed them out one-on-one. For those of you who read it and want more detail, I'm going to write some more of my story down. Okay, now the serious stuff. It's a testimony, and I want you to see how intricately the Lord works. Can you hear me, Nanny? Okay. Okay, that thyroid nodule I talked about the last time I sang, that started back in February when I went to my ENT. We did an ultrasound, and we did a biopsy, poking you in the neck to get that tissue out of there. The nodule, when it gets to be 4 centimeters, they want to do surgery. So I go to my ENT, who had already referred me to a specialist in Augusta, one of the top 5 surgeons in the country, to do this surgery because it's risky. And I had taken radiation back when I was 20-something. So I go to him on Friday a week ago, and he walks in and he says, "Have you met Dr. Terrace?" And I said, "No." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Because this is their procedure." He said, "Really? I don't like that procedure. You should meet whoever's going to be cutting on you before the surgery. They have something called one-stop surgery down there now. And you go on Monday, meet him, do your pre-op, and then you go back on Tuesday and have the surgery." So that told me, the gift that the Lord has given me, put the brakes on. So that's what I did. And I'm a natural girl, in case y'all didn't know that. I'd rather go the natural route to find something to resolve a problem. For example, I had an abscess. I went to the store and got garlic, started putting garlic on there. My girlfriend was amazed. In 2 days, it was gone. Okay, so this time I said, okay, let me research how to shrink those nodules, right? Spirulina, cumin, and ginger. I started taking those. Okay, let me back up. So I canceled the surgery, and I told my ENT about it, and I started taking this on last Saturday. Monday, I shared it with June. I don't see no nodules. Kathy, do you see that neck? You see that nodule? I don't see those nodules anymore. You see how the Lord works? That doctor walked in and asked me, had I seen the surgeon? No. Regina puts the brakes on. I don't feel no, look at that, smooth, y'all. Ain't no lump there. Oh!
Praise the Lord. Amen. All healing comes from God. Amen. Whether he worked through the ginger or through the spirulina, amen. But all healing comes from him. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank God for the ginger. Thank God for the spirulina. It was God. God made it. But he used it. Amen. I believe that. Praise the Lord, sister. Amen. Like Brother Dick said last week, amen, he got healed by a brain tumor. He had something to shout about, something to sing about. Amen. Something to praise the Lord about. Sister Regina, you have something to praise the Lord about. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you for that testimony. Let's sing this song, Shut In With God, and we're going to have Brother Porter. We're going to have you come up and sing first. Amen. And since you're a guest. And I try to stop it, brother, but I got too many requests. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face. Gaining new power to run in the race. How I long to be shut in with God. Sing it unto Him once again now as Brother Porter comes. Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in the race. How I long to be shut in with God.
Before we do this, I want to thank y'all.
I know. You're good. It's just very comforting
for a dad
and a mom to know that their child has received, and you know, in a church that believes in this message. So as we not yet officially turn her over to you, that's coming, our mind is at ease. We know the Black family is very, you know, Brother Bob and them are very conscious of the necessity to believe this message now. Our pastors, Brother Wade, put some of the same quotes up. He's on part 19 at home. He's on part 13 here. It's the same. He's getting us ready for a rapture. Amen. We've never sang this song together, but we're going to try. So, is it not on? I didn't think it was.
This one's on now.
Yeah. I'll sing solo. Solo, you can't hear me. Amen. What key?
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders, ashamed that I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward?
Hallelujah.
I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Might as well stay up here. You gotta sing again, right? Come on. You have to sing again? I don't know. Thank you, Brother Porter. God bless you. Now, whoever is going to come up to sing with Lily, I told her she's got to sing again. She's like, what? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Zoe. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful God that fights for us. Thank God for that. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hey, Jonas, can you come help us take up our offering, please? And then while he takes that up, we're going to stand to our feet and let's sing every praise is to our God. And I have Brother Wade come up.
Thank you.
Amen. As he passes that around, let's just praise him. Amen. Are you ready for the word this afternoon? Amen. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise, every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Sing that again. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise, praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah is to our God. Is to our God, God my Savior, God my Savior, God my Healer, God my Deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Once again, God my Savior. Yes, He is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God my Savior. God my Savior. God my Healer. God my Deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God my Savior, God, my healer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Sing hallelujah to our God. In one accord. You love the Lord? You love him? Amen. Sounds better. If you said you love the Braves or the... Well, I was going to say Clemson, but they're up there close to Clemson, so I'm going to say Georgia Bulldogs. You'd be shouting your heels off, but we need to be shouting our heels off for the Word of God. And what he done for you, he saved you. He healed you. He delivered you. He delivered you from a lot. And he will continue to deliver you. Amen. He didn't just stop. He didn't stop. Never will stop. You know, even in eternity, God's still working. Because he's got to make eternity work. We can't. So he's just sitting there making eternity work. I was trying to think the other day how eternity worked. Can't do it. You'll go crazy trying to do it. Where you look, we see an ending and we see a beginning. God's never seen a beginning. He's never seen an ending. Wow, we just got to believe him, right? God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Good to have our brother and sister with us from Brother Timothy Burdett's church. Okay. Have you ever been here before? Nope, never been here before. Well, God bless you. Make yourself at home. We're just family. You just met a new family member, a bunch of family members today. So good to have you with us. Amen. Brother Timothy was with us several years ago. He did a watch night service for us. He's a good brother. We love him. And they're not too far from here. They're, 45 minutes to an hour or something like that. So, yeah, well, good to have you with us. Make yourself at home. Just family members. People ask me, say, are you ever nervous preaching? I said, nope. I said, you nervous going to see your family? Well, some people should say, yeah, I'm nervous going to see my family. But most are not nervous to go see their parents or any or the mom and dad. Yeah, we do have cousins and brothers, okay, and sisters that, anyway. I'm talking about natural family. I'm talking about spiritual family today. Amen. Spiritual family today. I want to read this quote before we get started. I was talking about it this morning where Brother Branham talks in adoption. He tells us, he said, inheritance by predestination. I inherited something. What inheritance? There had to be somebody leave me an inheritance. Why, you say Jesus left me an inheritance. Beg your pardon. Everybody still believe Brother Brown was a prophet. We in the right place, right? Okay. He said, beg your pardon. Jesus never left you an inheritance. Jesus never left you an inheritance. He never left me an inheritance. Wow. He only came down and paid for your inheritance. Brought you to your inheritance. But your name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. God gave you your inheritance. Your inheritance was first. Your inheritance was first. Amen? So here we are. Our inheritance. God give us our inheritance. Jesus came to pay the price to give it back to us. Thank God. That's an eternal inheritance. It's eternal redemption. Satan can't do anything eternal. Bless his little heart. Sometimes I do. I'm like Brother Dale. I feel sorry for the devil because he can't get saved. He can't have this wonderful feeling that we have in our heart. He tries to take it away from us, but he will never have that peaceful feeling in his heart like me and you do. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Remember this afternoon after the second service, this service, we will have a baptismal service back here in the back in the playground where we have a new baptistry back there. So we'll have a baptismal service after the second service. If anybody else wants to be, hey, we started with 6 last Sunday, and we baptized 12. So we brought the towels back, so we ran out of towels and had to start using blankets. So we've got towels now. If 12 more want to be baptized today, guess what? The water's back there. It's circulating, getting warm, so you're not going to have an excuse for it being cold. It'll be really warm, so we'd love to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know Sister Ruth, she said, this is it. I'm putting a stake down right here. We've fought all of our life. We're 50 and 60 years old. We've known each other since we were kids. Put that stake down. I don't care what age you are. Put that stake down and say, this is it. Plant that tree and let it bring forth fruit. Amen. Let that old nature, let that old you die and get out of the way so that God can take over. I want to thank you all again for going to the assisted living home of Brother Howell this yesterday. Thank you all for going. Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. Saturday we'll be having Bible study between 6 and 8 o'clock. We will be on a Zoom meeting there if you want to stay home and you can ask questions if you can't come. But we sure would like for you to come. Brother Richard and Brother Anderson put new equipment downstairs for us to use. We're still talking on the rapture, the millennium, and the future home. We've got kind of finished with the rapture, and we're heading into the millennium now. Wedding supper and the different things there. Also remember this coming Sunday, a week from today, it will be my mother's birthday. She'll be 80 years old. We'll have cake and ice cream after the second service. And if you want to bring her anything, a good little gift, that would be just fine. What they always say, she's registered at Target, Bed, Bath, and Beyond. No, she's not. Hamrick's would be a good thing. Hamrick's, one more time. Hamrick's would be a good thing. Okay. She likes Hamrick's. She goes on Tuesday when old people get a discount. Other old people, not her, other old people. I'm getting in trouble here. Sorry about that. Let's continue on. All right, the communion, as Terrence said, we won't have communion the first Sunday this month. We'll have it the second Sunday because of that. June the 18th, will all the men and the young boys that want to go fishing, we're going to go down to Terrence's pond, and we're going to fish all day. Start about 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll have hamburgers, hot dogs. Everybody's invited, even you older kids, Brother Colley, that want to come. We'll do some fishing. There's some good fish down there, so we'll have a good time. I think T's going to have some generators. We're going to have a big fan. In case it's hot, we'll be able to have some tents and then have a place to get out of the heat. But that's for Father's Day. We usually go somewhere. This year we cannot go because somebody had already rented the venue that we used. So we will be going fishing there. And then on the 19th, the next day after that, Brother Daniel Perry will be speaking for us, the brother that was here last weekend when Brother Kidry was here. Also, July the 3rd, Brother Chris Long will be here with us for our anniversary meeting. That will be on a Sunday. We'll have two services, and then we will have a meal afterwards. And it won't be catered. I want y'all to cook it this time. I'm sorry, sisters, but got to cook some. Also, July 22nd, we have chartered a bus, and we're going to Ohio. I know a lot of you are signed up to go. We will be getting blocks of rooms for you to stay in, and then the Ohio group will be taking in some of that, some of us to stay with them. Just keep us in your prayer. We're going to have a youth service that Saturday, and we've already got a venue there. And then we'll have one church service on Sunday, and then we'll head back on Monday. So we do have a charter bus. Thank Brother Dale. Because the charter bus alone is going to be over $10,000 just for the bus. So, but the church is going to pay for it for you. And it'll put us all there at the same time, one time together, and we won't have to wait on some of you that don't know what time is. So anyway, just saying, I got to quit thinking out loud. But God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Let's start. Who is this son of man? This is part 39, Brother John. Okay, 39. I'm a little slow, but I'm a Southerner, and we all are too, so we're good. But that's all right. I looked online the other day, and Brother Donnie is on number 200 and something on about the church. So I ain't got that far yet. But when you're in a series, you just kind of want to stay on it, and until the people get it, and then when the people get it, then we'll move on. Amen. So this will be part 39. Who is this Son of Man? Because our mandate, we are not under the anointing of the Son of God anymore. They were in the church ages, and some still are. But we're in the dispensation of the Son of Man when God is to be human flesh again. And he's going to change your flesh. He's already changed. Listen, he started to body change when the 120 in the upper room got changed in their soul. That started the change. Now, we've come now all the way here because it wasn't their mandate. It wasn't their box. It wasn't their time. It wasn't their anointing. They didn't have the people here for it because God was waiting on me and you to be here. Amen. me and you to be here in this building, in this time, to be alive, to listen to the message of the hour and believe for a body change, because it can and it will happen. How many times have I told you I'm just dumb enough to believe it's me? Amen. And I just believe that with all God's help that we'll all get in there together. Amen. Don't kick any of them out. Amen. Let the Lord deal with that. So who is this Son of Man? Let's bow our heads. I know we all have unspoken requests, things on our heart. Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. I pray that you'd be with us now in the furtherance of this service. You do the speaking, Lord. You be the one, Lord, that does the revealing. Because without you, Lord, this would just be a meeting of, like as the prophet of God said, it'd be a lodge, just where we just meet and shake hands and talk about the things of the world. But Lord, let's just for a few hours, Lord, just be under this umbrella of hearing from you, Lord. And Lord, that we'll get something from you today, Lord, that'll help us in the days to come, Father. That we'll take this inheritance and we'll be able to use it, Lord. You don't want us to put it on a shelf, Lord. You want us to use it. And Lord, that's what this statue of a perfect man is for. It's not a statue. It's a stature. It's something moving. It's moving, breathing. It's you, Lord, in human flesh again, back on the earth in a bride, in a many-membered body. And thank you for, Lord, giving us an opportunity to stand before that purchased possession. Thank you for the ones that are here, our visitors now, Lord, that are here, and the ones, Brother John and his wife. Lord, we pray that you give them traveling mercies as they head back tomorrow, whenever they're going back. Be with us tomorrow, Memorial Day, Lord. We want to truly remember the ones, Lord, that gave their life to make it where we can stand in this pulpit. As of now, a free country. I know the United States is going to get what they're going to get, but Lord, I wouldn't be living anywhere else. This would be the only place I'd want to be, right here, right now, Lord. And I thank you for the men and women that fought and gave their life for us to have this freedom that we have in the United States of America. But Lord, this is nothing compared to that freedom that comes at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The freedom that comes and when we walk into that city, Lord, all we see is you. You're the light of the whole city. Everything's lit up because of you. We're even lit up because of you. Well, Lord, let us have a little part of that today, Lord. Light this building, Father, with your presence. We ask your name in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you do these things for us, Lord. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. That Word that was in the beginning was God. Amen. And now that Word was made flesh. We know that 2,000 years ago. But what about today? Amen. Where is Christ? In his bride. Amen. He's not on her. He's not around her. He's not hovering over her. He's in her. Amen. She is him. Amen. So the Word was made flesh when? Today. In you. Amen. 2022. The Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated. But we read the scripture there in Ephesians several weeks ago about being predestinated to adoption. Now, there's a lot of people been predestinated to different things. The church ages, they had their anointing, they had their time, they had their characteristic, and they had their time that they fulfilled that characteristic under the messenger of their age. Well, now, under the messenger of Malachi 4, we see that we've moved to the Son of Man revelation. All right, now, it's not going to be during the time of the church ages that we see the Son of Man revelation. The Son of Man revelation is God in human flesh for a body change. Amen. All right, we know we're all called out of the age. We're not living in any age if you're born again. You're living in eternity. Your soul is actually in eternity. What a paradox is you're here getting older and we're getting more feeble and we're having more aches and pains. But if you're born again tonight, this afternoon, that soul inside of you is 20 years old, just as eternal as God is. Never had a bad day, never had a bad thought, never began and never will end. Thank God for that. That's the new birth. To me, that's not just the message of the hour. That's the truth. The message of the hour is, as we were talking about, the message of the hour is the Holy Ghost in your age, you get the revelation. Because remember, you look at what we were looking at the chart this morning. When in the age of justification, that was John Wesley, right? Well, Martin Luther. Martin Luther sat in a pub, drank a beer, and smoked a pipe. He was a German. Talked about the Word of God. But God, he allowed that because he wanted Martin Luther to preach the just shall live by faith, people to come out of the Catholic Church, people to get born again under the Reformation, get born again. And then what did he do? He said, oh, well, I got to have a John Wesley because we can't be sitting in no pub drinking beer and smoking a pipe. Right. You can't do that.
Amen.
But they could. Because that was their box. That was their leadership. That was their time. That was their anointing. Then you come to John Wesley's anointing. Then you come to Pentecostal anointing, which was the gifts coming back into the church and the different doctrines. And you know, the first Pentecostal church in 1906, they were Trinitarians. They didn't have a one God revelation. It was only until about 1912 they came in with Daddy Seymour and them came in and got the revelation of one true living God. But then you got all kind of Jesus name, which was, you know, one like your finger, and they had all this and all that. They subdivided again.
Amen.
Man has done that. They just keep dividing because what does Satan like to do? He likes to what? Divide and conquer. He don't want us to get together. Now, how many? I'm going to go ahead and say it, Brother John. How many denominations we got in this message? One message. One Bible. 1,100 sermons. Vindication. 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 And as people go to different churches, won't even talk to each other. You know why? Because of these virtues. I want to read this. We were talking about it this morning. Brother Branham says in blasphemous names, he said, Brother Branham, should we speak with tongues? Absolutely. That's the gift of God. They don't have this quote. But these gifts of God without these virtues make a stumbling block.
Yes,
to the unbeliever. Because the unbeliever looks at you. He said, look, it's not accepted by God. God doesn't accept you just to get born again. Not in this age. In this age, he expects you to get born again. Then he expects you to grow. Because you've got the word to grow by. You've got an open book to work by. Not a closed book. It's open. So you can read everything you need to read.
Yes,
praise the Lord. But let's don't be a stumbling block. Even believers can be stumbling blocks without these virtues. What did Brother Brown say? Power without character is what? Satanic. Power without character would have you do... you'd zap your boss out of existence if you could. Now, mine's I got a good boss. Maybe some of y'all don't, but I got a good boss. She's a good postmaster lady. But if you use those characters wrong, God's not going to give you that character if he knows you're going to misuse it. That's why we've stayed babies for 60 years. That's why that we've, as Brother Brown said, we've done like Pentecost. We've tooted after whistle. We've made sure that we shouted, spoke in tongues, and quoted Brother Branham to a degree and lived a good life. But that's not what God's requiring now. He's requiring the revelation of the Son of Man because that's not your birth. Your birth is over here, and then the revelation that we're going to talk about under the Son of God revelation, you can only understand it by having the new birth. All right? And there's three stages of this adoption. We were talking about this morning. We'll go through it pretty quick. We have the birth. See, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are, not going to be, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption. Listen, if you're born again today, you should be the freest person in the world. You should be so free. You say, no, we have problems. We have issues that we have to work on, which is life. But you should be able to handle them and get through them and get by them. Work your way through these things. For we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but what? We have received the spirit of adoption. All right, you got to receive the spirit of adoption to even be considered in adoption. In other words, you got to be the child. I like what Brother Dale said many, many years ago. He said, God is not obligated. He's not obligated to adopt the devil's kids. He's obligated to adopt his own kids. And that's what we do at the new birth. We receive the spirit of adoption. And we are children of God. Children. We start out as children. As I said this morning, you know, we got several young men in here and several young ladies. that are getting older. But you're not going to give the car keys to a five-year-old. You going to let your daughter drive with you home today, brother? Why? She's a girl. I mean, she's human. She's got eyes. She got nose. She got a mouth. She got hands. She got feet. She's human. Why? She hadn't come to the growth development part. She hasn't come to the intelligence part. Sure, she's got a brain, and it's a very good brain because she looks like her mama. Very good brain. But still, I mean, she's human. Like I said, we're Christian. My point is, we're sons and daughters of God. We have come to a place that we know we should know what the new birth is. But we should know the requirements of that, as Brother Bob was talking about this morning. And as we move further, the requirements we were talking about downstairs of having virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. These are required virtues. They're required. But listen, all the apostles had those virtues. The apostles at the early church ages had those virtues working in their life. So I'm not, when we talk about the Son of Man revelation, we're not talking about that. We're going on up higher into the headstone, as we see over there, that there's justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost in the pyramid. And then there's in the small pyramid, which is really small because only a small group of people is going to make it to the Son of Man revelation. But the Son of God revelation is down through the church ages. We got to be out of the church age. When Brother Branham was preaching, he said, not in the years of preparation. What was it? He was preparing a group of people. He was trying to get the Pentecostals to come out. Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. He was trying to get them out. Come out of her, my people. With the signs and the wonders, as Moses did, the signs and the wonders caught the attention of the people, but the attention of the people was supposed to gather them to Moses and then take them into the promised land. Oh, what happened? The first thing it said, you brought us out here to die, Moses? We'd rather go back and eat the leeks and garlics, and I don't see how in the world, because, man, leeks are horrible. But they'd rather eat that than to what? Be in the... We're the same way, folks. Sometimes we'd rather not be in the presence of God. Human beings, I'm just human. I don't know about y'all. We live in the spirit realm. Not enough. But we are human beings and we have things we have to do. You know that. But that's what we're working on. We're not working on now. And thank God for Brother John, we were talking about this today, a progressive ministry we've had here. Brother Dale's been preaching here for 45 years, and it's always been progressive ministry. One of the greatest teachers I've ever heard. Amen. And I'm like those people across the curtain of time. I'm resting on that. Amen. And if heirs, if children, then if we become children, then heirs. All right, heirs of God, what? Heirs of these virtues. You're not going to get these virtues from God if you don't have God already inside of you. All right, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ gets, you get. Amen. What did Christ? Christ got a body change. Christ got a resurrection. Amen? Christ got an eternal body. Do you know his body was not eternal? Do you know he received an eternal body? Amen? The Bible, that's why the Bible says being made perfect. He became the author of our salvation. That we may be glorified together. Let's continue real quick. Justification, we were talking about this morning. And we were talking about baby form justification, which takes your sins, if you're truly repentant, throws them in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Now, we remember them, but God does not remember those past sins. Stop wasting God's time repenting for something you already repented for. If you truly repented, Satan's going to bring it back to you. Don't worry. That's his job. But it's only in that memory, reason, conscious, affection realm. It is not in that center realm. That center realm is settled. It's peace. It's joy. It's all those different things. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. We were talking about it downstairs. Sister Christine was preaching a good sermon back there. Listen. Stop just a minute. There's a lot of churches in this message that wouldn't let a woman say nothing. And I know Paul said, bless her heart, be silent in church. But there's some women I'd rather hear than men. Boy, you ain't getting no amens except for the women. I got amens from the women, Brother John, direct. Brother John said, Brother John Durrett said, I don't know who you're talking about. I didn't know who you're talking about. He said, I stayed awake the whole sermon. That's works, brother. That's the way it works. But you said it, so I can say it. Isn't that right, Brother John? But there's a lot of people, there's a lot of people that wouldn't want to listen to a sister. But we got some sisters that's got some, if they're full of the Holy Ghost, Brother Brown said a Holy Ghost-filled woman can help you. Now, we don't believe in women preachers and all that. We don't believe in having them conduct meetings, no. But sitting around talking about the Word of God, hadn't you rather do that than to talk about candy and cooking and all that stuff? Y'all can do that together, but I tell you what, there was a brother came here one time that preached a false doctrine, and there was about two sisters met him right down there at the bottom of the stairs. The preacher, pastor, didn't even have to get out there. They done cornered him and said, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by this? What do you mean by this? We ain't seen him since, I don't think. So. But anyway, make a point. Sister Christine, we were talking about salvation. There's a lot of people going to be saved. That's not born again. That's not living in the city. That's not bride. They're going to have to stay dead 1,000 years. They're going to have to come up and give an account. Right? But like I told you before, I'm so proud that this message has given me at least 2 good revelations, Brother John, back there in the back. There's 2 revelations. You can talk about seals, plagues, vials, all you want to talk about. There's 2 things that God showed me. If I get born again, I never, ever have to stand at the judgment. Thank God. Thank God. I'll never have to stand at the judgment, and I'll never have to go through the tribulation. That's enough. I know it's not all, but that's enough for me to know that God saved my soul and is taking me somewhere. But if we'll give the rest of it, we're going to talk about it later on in the sermon about doors and doors. If we'll just let him get a step further. Let him get a step further. Let him in, not just let him in your house. Not just let him in your heart. Let him ramble through those drawers. Open the drawers up. Open the doors up. And say, God, come in. And if there's trash in here, take it out. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that he is raised from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Salvation is of the Lord. A lot of people are going to have salvation, but they're going to have to live outside the city. They're going to have a position where they're going to have to go through the tribulation. They're going to have to stand at the white throne judgment. But if they get eternal life, they get eternal life. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says you don't have, it does not say a word about, well, you got to know what this message is to be saved. Oh, that hurts. Oh, that hurts a lot of people. There's going to be more people saved that never heard of this message than there are going to be that's ever heard of this message. Amen? So we are what? Blessed people to know that we've come to the message of the hour. That we are going to be able to stay in that city. We are going to be able to pass judgment. The one that we're not going to have to go through the tribulation. We are going to take a body change and we are going to be caught up out of here. Amen? We're going to have some heartaches and trials. But we're not just saved. We're full of the Holy Ghost. And we're born again Christians. For the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what I was just doing. Confess. Confess with your mouth. Romans 3 verse 24 says, being justified what? Freely. By his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness what? For the remission of sins that are past. God cannot forgive you even knowing you're going to sin tomorrow. He's not going to forgive you unless you ask him. That's Catholicism to ask for. You know what? That's why the mafia love Catholics. They love being Catholics. I'm sorry, priest. I'm going to kill 2 people tomorrow. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and forgive me now. Sister Anna's been, she was a Catholic. I mean, that's what you do. You repent for all that stuff. Well, I'm fixing to do this, but I want you to forgive me for that. That's not the way God works. He forgives you he gives you remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That's justification. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. That's what we're talking about. Get down here. Faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Sanctification. Now, this is, again, this is sanctification. You're not even in the body yet. You're becoming a believer. We were talking about it this morning. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeks rest, findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house. That's Satan talking, if you don't mind. He said, I will return into my house. God has not took full possession yet. He has cleaned your drinking, cussing, smoking, gambling, laundry list, whatever your problems were. If they went out, they should have went out at sanctification. Not that you believe the message. I don't cut my hair. I don't go to the bar anymore. That's just good living. That's sanctification, which is still, you're going to go to hell if you don't continue on. Because you don't have God in your soul to protect you. Now you have the unclean spirit out, but what's he going to do? He's going to try to come back. He's not going to try to come back. He will come back. Because you know what? I was a good soldier for him. He lost a good one when he lost me. Because I did what he said most of the time. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he find it empty, swept, and garnished. Started going to church. Started believing. Got a new spirit. Remember, we talked about it this morning. But it's not the Holy Spirit. Then goeth he and taketh himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, more religious. And puts you in a message church. And say, you're fine. Just come to church whenever you need to. I didn't say, won't to, sorry. You need to every time. Whenever you want to, I'll stay home and listen to tapes if I need to. I ain't going there no more. I'm not. That's for somebody else. If you think you can make it at home, then God bless your heart. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so it will be unto this wicked generation. Who's he talking to? He's talking to us. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Amen. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Here we are getting ready to start getting cleaned up. Yes, sir. We're not born again. We're clean and set aside for service, not put in service. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Watch this. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these. Why? Start going to church. Start doing. Somebody asked me a question the other day about, oh, bless his heart. He was talking about having a problem with women. I said, well, you know what? You know where they go? They go to bars. They go to shows. They go to the things of the world. I said, you don't go find them sitting over here on the pew of a church. Environment. Change your environment. If you say, I got these demons I can't get rid of, quit going to where the demons are. Quit going to where the demons are. Try going to church. There's enough demons here already. Devil comes to church when you don't. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel of what? Honor. Sanctified. Cleaned up. And meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Now still, you're not born again. You're still working toward that. Here's a quote that kind of gets your eyebrows furrowed. Judas Iscariot was justified by faith. Believed on the Lord Jesus and was baptized. Pretty good believer, huh? Let's just keep going. Jesus said, sanctify them, Father, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And he was the word, even before the atonement was made. In other words, as a preview, Father, of shed blood, I sanctify these. He gave them power against unclean spirits. They went out, cast out devils. Is that right? They healed the sick. Is that right? They came back sanctified, rejoicing, jumping up and down. Remember, Judas was in this group. Yeah. Right? Is that right? He said, even the devils are subject. And Jesus said, don't you rejoice because the devils are subject, but rejoice because your names are written in the book of heaven. Is that right? And Judas Iscariot was one of them. One of them. He was one of them. He wasn't one of them. We are. But he was one of them. And like I said before, I want you to get this. That's why the Son of Man revelation has to come in the end, back in the end time. Because the only way that Judas was exposed was because the Son of Man was on earth. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, knew he was going to be the betrayer. So the only way that we're going to know who, and he hid in the system, as we all say. He hid in the system. He was a spy. He was one that was so good, the CIA would have loved this guy. He fit right in. All the other 11 had no clue who he was on the inside. But what? The Son of Man did. So the revelation of the Son of Man to me in the end time has to come back to identify the devil, where he is, and expose him. That's what the seals were for. The seals opened, it exposed the devil. It produced Jesus Christ, but it exposed the devil and where he was. It proved, Brother Brown said, oh man, I knew I hated those organizations. I knew I hated those denominations. He knew that was the Antichrist system. Listen, COVID shot is not the Antichrist system. See, that's another thing. All these questions that all these people, all these pundits and all these people on CNN, INN, CIA, and all them other places, Fox News, they're bouncing around this theory and this theory and this. We know where the Antichrist is. If you're not born again, he's sitting in you. You ain't got to worry about, you're talking about a disease. That's the worst disease than COVID ever thought about being. It's for Satan to be inside of you and you not know it. Do you be deceived by it? Because the whole world's going to be deceived except the bride. And she's going to be about that close from being deceived because all these other 11 bride disciples were deceived. Until Judas did what he did and showed his colors. And Judas Iscariot was one of them. Called out, sanctified, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not the eternal section. Read Matthew 10 and see if that's not right. He called each one of them and Judas, every one of them right down there, he sent them out, give them power against unclean spirits. Wow. How the thing was refreshed in the presence of God. Notice another thing. Once in the presence of God, you get quieted. You ain't got to shout. Listen, Jesus never shouted. And I know we came under the Son of God ministry where it's a lot of shouting, a lot of speaking in tongues, and a lot of hollering. And Jesus never did that. The Son of Man never screamed except one time, and that was to get Lazarus out of a grave. The devils knew who he was when he walked in the room. They started screaming at him. He never screamed at them. We scream, shake them, and everything else. What is the virtues working in your life, though? Didn't Brother Bram say that was supreme power and control? Amen. Remember, power without character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. Supreme control over the situation. That's one thing that I believe, you know, Brother Branham, he would stand there and he would say, I take every spirit in this building under my control. He controlled the whole thing. He controlled everything that was going on. And he never hollered and screamed at people. He prayed for them. He prayed for them with power behind it. That's what I'm looking for. Listen, Satan can do, he can impersonate every gift, every spiritual gift, but he can't put the word together and drive Satan out. Satan can't cast out Satan. But the word of God can do it, folks. That's what I'm looking at. You get quieted. You're not tossed about by everything. You know where you're standing. There's something happened. You know that you're a real Christian. You know that you've been in contact with somebody that loves you. You know that something's happened down here. And it's refreshing. And not only that, but you'll refresh others. You've seen people that was nice people, but you wouldn't hardly stand to be around them. There's something about them. They got a creative power around them. It just seems to be different. Now, I'd like to stop here, if it was possible, and tell you something on that. You're a little creator. You create an atmosphere. That's why when we come into service, we don't do denominations. Man, have you ever been to a denominational church? Boy, it has. I've been to a few. There was a young little boy that was preaching, just started preaching in the old Baptist church we used to go to years ago in the 60s. And we went back, and it's just like a lodge. I mean, they were leaning up the benches, on the side of the benches, talking about the ball game, talking about their car and how they're going to, you know, race on Sunday and how they're going to do this and who's going to win the ball game and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, the song leader stands up like this and everybody just kind of sits down. Then they sing their three or four songs and bring the preacher out. And formality. Formality. That's why we're quiet before the service. That's why we have music playing before service. We want to invite God in our midst. I know we brought him in here with us. But we want a special anointing on us to help us to worship and listen to what God has to say. Well, you're a little creator, then you can do that. He said he'd give you a new spirit. Now, this is sanctification. Now, that spirit isn't God's spirit. That's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit. Then he says, I'll put my spirit in him. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature a little more gentle and settle down, or he couldn't even live with you. So he has to get you fixed up first before he can come in. I'll give you a new spirit. Then you take him anywhere. You go all kinds of places. He's got to get you fixed so you can entertain him right. So that's when you're on the first altar. See, you're not even in the Holy of Holies yet. You're not even in the Holy of Holies yet. All right? But when you hide away, you get his spirit. Then the Holy Spirit, none other than God himself, comes and dwells in you. And then there's something about you. The neighbor loves you. The people likes you. Intervale, 1956. I love that little message right there called the Intervale. The dwelling place of God. I'm going to try to skip through this to get to something. Showing that the human heart, not the human head, but the human heart is where he's going to reside. I'll write them in my heart. They'll keep my statutes and so forth, saith the Lord. God said in another place in Ezekiel, I will in that day take out your old fleshly stony heart, and I'll give you a new spirit, and I'll put my spirit in you. Now, a lot of people, even you Pentecostal people, listen, folks, it's not bad to have a Pentecostal experience. That's right. Amen. But staying in Pentecost, you're going backwards. Right. Amen. Right. Amen. Right. Sorry. You are. We're past that. Now, a lot of people, even you Pentecostal people, a lot of times get mistaken in that. You get a new spirit. That's not God's spirit. That's you. That isn't God. You get a little happy because you got a new spirit and you jump up and down, run around the floor, maybe shout a little bit, speak with tongues, run around a little bit and think you got the Holy Ghost. That's not it.
That's it. Right.
Amen. That's a new spirit God gave you. That's you. Then after he give you your spirit, then he said, I'll put my spirit. Then what's the matter with this missed meal cramps that you get? That's right. That's the reason you... Listen, this is the reason we can't get anywhere. 60 years we've been in the message. We can't get anywhere. Amen. We've not grown up.
Yeah.
We got to grow.
Yeah.
We got to grow up in God. We've got to have our teaching right. We've got... You say, Brother Wade, you might believe this and I might believe that. We might be a little off. Now listen, was God and Jesus ever at odds with each other? Jesus said, I only do that what the Father shows me. Only do what the Father shows me. It's time where everybody's doctrine has got to be the same. It's a requirement. To be a son of man, to be in the son of man revelation, we got to have the same doctrine. Not preach the same thing, but like Brother John said, here they are 200 miles away from us, and I don't talk to Brother Shambo, I don't know him, but preaching on the same line. Called Brother Claude the other day, preaching on the same line. That's God. That's the Holy Ghost trying to get all of us to see something. Now, notice, you put a new spirit. God has to give you a new spirit or you couldn't even get along with him. You couldn't get along with yourself, that old devil spirit you had in you. Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet?
Amen.
We believe what he said, right? Okay, just wanted to make sure we're good. So he's got to put a new spirit in you so you can get along with his spirit. I'll put a new spirit in them and I will put my spirit in them, he said. After he gives you a new spirit. All right, that's you. That's sanctification. Because you know what? You got to get cleaned up. God doesn't have to clean himself up. God doesn't have to clean up. He's got to clean you up. But you got to meet him. You got to meet him. Like I said before, I've had people come and say, I want to pray for God to give me a job. I said, well, have you been looking? No. I said, God's not going to come and knock on your door and say, hey, I got you a job. That's being lazy. You got to make an effort. Put in an application. Then God will help you get a job. But you got to make a move. Lazy bunch of people. I'm talking about the world. Can't get nobody to work anymore. You remember when, I know a lot of you older ones remember when, if you could work for the post office, You were set for life. You had a job, and you, I mean, man, you were. We haven't worked 2 days, and they leave. This is too hard for me. What, too hard for you to do this? Next box. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to drive over this side. Next box. Oh, I might have to pick a package up and take it to somebody that orders from Amazon all the time. But it's a mentality of the people. Gimme, 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 gimme. I'm sorry, I got on that. I shouldn't have. That's a rabbit trail. I'm off of it now. But that's the spirit of the world. We got to put forth some effort. He said, what? Now, wait a minute. Here's the scripture. He said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. If you draw nigh to me, in other words, you make the move. And then I'll make a move too. But now, wait a minute. That guy will stand over here, though. He's going to try to make a move too. Be careful of the devil. I ain't going to hit you. Be careful of the devil. He might hit you. He's going to try to make a move too. So make your motive and objection. What? Motive and objection. Make sure it's right. Don't get it confused with God's spirit. It's not. That's why we're going through these three stages. I want you to understand. Sanctification is a wonderful place to be. It cleans you out. Man, it just makes you feel so good. But if you stay there, Satan's going to come right back in. And he's going to make you settled. He's going to just shoot you full of stuff and make you think you're a believer. Please don't do that. Strive. No, like Brother Bob was talking about this morning. If I'm going to go ahead and say it. If you can't understand this message, now I don't say seals. I mean, if you can't put certain things together, say, God, look, you told me you could tell me these things. You tell me these truths. That I have come into. I have come into this truth. I believe it's the message of the hour. I don't believe it's out there. I believe it's in here. No, I'm talking about this four walls. I'm talking about the message of the hour.
That's right.
Then God, listen, take him to task.
Yes, sir.
Say, God, you're obligated. You say, oh, I don't talk to God like that. Brother Branham did. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, who's sitting on the throne? God's sitting there. Come boldly to the throne and say, look, you promised me. Right here. It says, if I'll do this, you'll do that. I can't understand this, God. Put somebody in the pulpit. Give me a tape to listen to. Give me a sister to call me. Give me somebody to answer my question. And you know what? He's obligated to do it. And you know what? If you're a child of God, he will do it. Because you're not obligated to the devil's kids. So now let's make sure we're not the devil's kids. Because he's not obligated to tell you anything if you're the devil's kids. So let's get born again. Let's get the new birth. Let's get faith and then start adding. If we ever get to that, we'll start adding them. If he ever gives it to you, man, because you're in your condition. You and your condition never get along. You can't get along with your wife. Can't get along with your husband. Can't get along with your neighbor. How are you ever going to get along with God? So he has to give you a new spirit before you can get along with him. So he puts a new spirit in you, and then he puts his spirit in you. That's the new birth. Gives you a new spirit, a new outlook, a new faith. Then he puts his Holy Spirit inside of you. Then he puts his spirit. Listen, when he puts his spirit in your soul, there's no room for another spirit. Because that burner, everything God touches, it burns. If it's sin, it burns. It burns it out. And when he brings his hands and he lays his hands, when some brother or somebody lays hands on you to receive the Holy Ghost, or you want to receive the Holy Ghost, you know what's happening? There's a burner. There's an angel. Read the Bible. Burners. Remember, they had coals of fire that came off the altar that touched the lips of Isaiah. Was it Isaiah? There's one when you come to the new birth that'll burn you out. And you know what that reminds me of? You say, well, bro, wait, that's, I don't know how in the world that happened. They was four Hebrew children, three Hebrew children, right? They went in a fiery furnace that was heated seven times further, more hot, killed the people that put them in there. And when they walked out of that fire, what did the Bible say? The Bible didn't say that they were not just burnt. Their clothes weren't singed, and they didn't even smell the smoke. Now listen, we can get close to a neighbor burning the trash, and you can get wind, you can get that smoke on you, and you smell it for 3 days. That's just, but what happened to God is just like that fiery furnace. Heat it up, God. Heat it up seven times and burn everything. Kill them demons and even get close to the door. Because those people that went up to the door, guess what happened? And the three Hebrew children's like, it's not even warm in here. I'm sweating more right now than they were. You know why? Because there was a fourth man. God met them in a fire. Do you know what would happen if they'd have never made the step? God would have never had to meet them. But they made a step toward the fire. They made a step toward the furnace. And they said, it doesn't matter if we get burned up, we're going to meet God anyway. But we're not going to bow to this world. We're not going to bow to this image. And you know what that image was of? Ow! Sister, you're not supposed to say nothing in church. Be quiet. I'm glad you did that, though. You were exactly right. You know I'm just joking. She said, Daniel, that's what the image was. The whole image was about there was a prophet that they were supposed to bow to. Oh, I'm going there anyway. There was an image of a prophet of the hour that they were supposed to bow to. And they said, we're not bowing to that. My God's stronger than that. That's flesh and blood. I got a God that'll meet me in that fire. I got a God that, yeah, that God that was in Daniel. No doubt. But that same God that was in Daniel, that same God that was in William Branham is inside of me and you tonight. Amen? Not in the measure of being the prophet, no. Not being a, we're not church age messengers. That was a special gift. But the same Holy Ghost he had inside of him, I got inside of me. You got inside of you. If you're born again. We'll read it right here. Seeing you have purified your souls. Now see, we're not purifying, we're purifying the soul. Everybody with me? As Brother Bob was talking about this morning. We're getting the soul burnt out. We're getting everything cleaned out at sanctification. And then he's going to bring the burner and make sure everything's burnt out. And then he's going to put his spirit in and he's going to give you faith to receive these virtues. Is everybody with me? Amen? But you got to be born again first. So listen right here. Purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. You can't obey the truth and not have the Spirit of God inside of you. There's part of the things you can obey, but you can't obey the full Spirit of God without having the Spirit of God inside of you. As I've said many times before, Brother John, both of you, if I were to write a love story, June and I have been married for 43 years. That lady sitting right beside you. I got to get back here. Yeah, you're the right one. 43 years. We've been married 43 years, and we've went through two children, a grandbaby, ups and downs, ins and outs, a lot of ups, bunch of downs, but we love each other. Amen? And I could write you a love story that would just make your face turn red. But you know what? If I gave that book to Tony, he'd probably read about two pages and toss it over to the side. Why? Because he wasn't a participant. He didn't live through it. Okay, it's only one page. The fly leaf of the book. But you understand what I'm saying? You read in novels, and have you ever got involved? If you get involved, you learn more. But if you're just reading words on a page, you're just like, oh, well, Jen and Wade, they went to Alaska in 2004. Man, we had a wonderful time, and we did this, and we ate at this sushi bar, and white doves flew everywhere, you know. Yeah, y'all laughing. But I ain't laughing because me and her experienced it. Everybody with me on this? You understand what I'm saying? But how if some way, I know Tony's not going to like this, if some way I could take my spirit that lived through that, if you'll catch this, you'll know how important the new birth is. That spirit that I have, me, that did those things with Jim, if I could some way take that out and place it inside of him, and then he'd read that book, he'd learn a lot more because he knew what that was talking about. Because he had the person that wrote it inside of him. That's how important the new birth is. You get that man that wrote the book, you get him inside of you, and he's going to look through your human eyes, and you're going to see, and things are going to be revealed that's never been revealed before. The love letter, you're going to be able to what? Not just read it as a outside person, but you're going to be a participant. That's the way I see the Bible. That's the way I see the prophet's message. We got to be active participants in this message. Not just coming to church, but no, actually, I like what Brother Schrader, old brother, used to come here, and he'd say, "Now, Satan," he said, "I know you're rambling around up in my head," he said, "but me and you fixing to read the Bible. Me and you fixing to read the Bible." And he said, "I want you to look, if you're going to look through the eyes, we're going to look at the Bible, we're going to read the Bible. We're going to see what the Bible says about you." That's a good thing to do it. But it's a real good thing, though, to say, "God, I don't understand this. Could you drop down just a few minutes and help me read this because you wrote it?" And he wrote it in a way that the whole world don't understand it. He wrote it in a way that 99% of the people in the world don't even really care about. There's only 1% of the people in the world that knows what he was saying when he wrote that Bible. That's why it took a prophet with a prophetic insight to come and show us. How many times do we read Acts 2:38? How many times did we read that the serpent beguiled Eve? How many times did we read all this? Brother Branham never brought us a new Bible. It was already in there. But what happened was is that had not been transferred. The seals were closed. The book was closed. You could just barely see a little bit. But when those things were open, oh my. And I don't believe he ever shut it either. I believe he gave it to me and you. And we're supposed to read it just like he read it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is of grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But look, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. Ephesians 1 verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together. What? One. Gather together in one. One bride. Not two. One bride. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, even whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Obtained. We just get it poured. I wish I could pour it down your brain. But it'd do you no good without a revelation. It's just words. But being predestinated, we have an inheritance according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What is his will? His will is his word. He wrote this book. This is a will. We come every Sunday to listen to the will being read. Because somebody had to die to give me these words. Somebody had to die so that he could come back inside of me and show me what this said. But this is my will. Your will is being read today. You got this promise. You got this promise. You got this. Isn't that what happens when somebody dies? You go to the lawyer and the lawyer says, "Okay, here's the will. Because you're the son of Samuel and Peggy Dale, you get everything he's got." Really? Everything? Yeah, it says right here in the will, gives you everything. All the promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. We're living way below our privileges. that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, and whom also you have trusted. Look, after. You got to hear the word to know it. You got to hear the word for it to be quickened. The gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed. After you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. What's the earnest money? Down payment. Now, you don't get the title to the house yet, but you know what? If you make your down payment, and you make your, and like I said before, in this building, we know we got 30 years on our houses, but we've got 7 payments to get this house built, to get this house to where you can get the title. You say, oh, Brother Wade, Jesus holds the title deed. I thought God holds the title deed, and I thought he gave it to Jesus in Revelation 5. And there was the Lamb. And what did he do? He opened it up, the prophet said, and give it to his people.
Amen.
Us. Amen. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter that you may abide, who he may abide with you forever. Look, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it can't see him. Neither know him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you'll see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that what? We were talking about this morning. I am in my Father, the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Heirs and joint heirs.
Yes, right.
Folks, listen, you're not a second person of God. The devil is a second person of God. You're God. If he possesses your soul, you're God. That's why we're still here, because you're not believing it. Oh, I can't. Here we go with the excuses. Oh, I can't. No, but he can. And I just read you the will that said you were heirs and joint heirs. Whatever Christ got is what you got. I just read you the Bible. That he said, I pray, Father, that they be one like me and you are one. Well, how was Jesus and God one? They were one. So guess who we in Christ are? One. Adam and Eve, folks, were literally one person. Now, they were separated, but they were literally one person. If you took a DNA test from Adam and a DNA test from Eve, there's no way they'd say, no, there's two people here. He said, no, one DNA, because she literally came out of him. So that's what you and I got to come back to. When we come to this body change, we're going to have to literally know that we come out of God. Hard to believe, but you better start believing it, folks. Are we just going to keep dying? We're going to keep having funerals. And I, brother, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but carnal, even as unto babies. It's not bad to be a baby. It's bad to stay a baby. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, division, are you not carnal and walk as men? Listen to 1 Peter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Listen, I like milk. Man, Daddy, the other day, he had some cornbread and milk, and I about stole it from him. But I went home and had a steak. Because I like steak. Amen? I like milk, but I like steak too. But a baby desires the sincere milk of the word. Look, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3 says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. There's no way you can have these virtues. There's no way you can understand this message of the hour. Sister Anna, come on. We're talking about another sister. Bless her heart. We were talking about, and she's like, well, I know about serpent seed, and I know about, well, so did I. When I was 14 years old, I knew the major, what you want to say, major revelation doctrines. But I didn't know how to fit them in the Word because I wasn't born again. And I proved that because I went out in the world for about 20 years. But I knew that it was not an apple in the garden. Common sense could tell you that. Brother Brown, didn't he say one time, he said, that's just an ability to read. But what about a revelation, though? What about when God came and gave me the new birth, when all those pieces, then I all just began to fit. And they fit together. And they fit together and they weren't contrary one to the other. That's, to me, that's the new birth. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Look, you got to obtain it. Something you got to get. Remember, meet him, he'll meet you. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as what? His divine power. There's only one divine power, and that's God. Has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What? These promises right here. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now that's partakers of the divine nature. That's God when he comes in your soul. Burns you out. Gives you his nature. Burns your nature out. Listen, he doesn't kill your soul. You'd be dead. He kills the nature that's attached to it. Because you have an old nature. We're going to now take the divine nature of God. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Remember, faith is not an add. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 adds. We're talking about right here in Numbers 34. We don't have to look at the chart again, I don't think. But remember, Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which you shall inherit. We had a prophet of God that he walked through us through the wilderness of sand. He walked with the Pentecostals. He walked with the different ones. They saw signs, miracles, and wonders, and they still denied him. They still turned him down. You take the life of Moses and the life of Brother Branham and the life of Paul, and you put them all together, and they all just kind of coincide with each other. All right? He led us up to the promised land, but Brother Branham's not here positionally in human flesh to place us. Right? The Holy Ghost is going to place us by what Moses said, by what the prophet of God said. We're going to be placed in this land. Nothing against the prophet. Listen, besides Jesus Christ, he's the greatest man that ever walked on the face of this earth. The greatest man that ever walked on the face of this earth is William Mann Branham, except for Jesus Christ. I just believe that. He was a prophet. He was a born-again Christian. He was adopted. He had the revelation of the seals. He brought everything that we needed. Opened the scriptures to me. I really don't care, Brother John, whichever John I want to talk to. Whichever. If they can say what they want to about Brother Branham. I really don't care about his... Here I go again. About his life. He led me to God. He brought clarity to the message. Not the message he preached, to the message that we got right here. He brought clarity to this. And I thank God for that. And he's going to get a great portion of heaven. But so are me and you. Because we're followers, as we were talking yesterday, talking to somebody, and we're not followers of William Branham. We follow the message. We're in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. We know he had to be off the scene for it to be the voice in us. Same way with Moses. Moses had to be off the scene so that Joshua could take him to the promised land and positionally place him into the promised land. And I believe, listen, I said before and I'll say it again, I believe that you can get born again by listening to tapes and reading books. But you can't grow. You cannot grow without a fivefold ministry, or God's going to have to take the Bible and change it. Because a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Amen? And that's the Bible. That's your inheritance. That's what I trust. You know what? I put my trust in that. Because that's what God said. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, "This is the land which you shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the 9 tribes and half tribes." I remember there were 12. "For the tribe of children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of Gad," we were looking at the poster this morning. You don't have to pull it up. "Had received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The 2 tribes and the half tribe received their inheritance on this side Jordan, near Jericho, eastward toward the sun rising." So under Moses, Moses taught the people there is a promised land, and we're going to it. I've brought you out. My message has brought you out of Egypt. And we're walking in the wilderness of sin, sanctification. It cleaned all them out. Hello, somebody. It cleaned them out. It got rid of them old fighters. They just started dying, and God started killing them with plagues. He was what? He was sanctifying his people. He was getting rid of the old unbelievers, the old fighters. He was getting rid of the ones that doubted God. And he raised up a 20-year-old group and below. And they're the ones that went over and possessed the land. That's where you and I are. Doesn't matter what age you are today. We're in that time to where we're that group of people that's to possess our property. Possess our land. The 12 tribes of Israel. I'm going to skip through that. But what happened is, remember this morning, you had Reuben and Gad on this side of the Jordan River. What does Jordan mean? Death. On this side of the Jordan River, and a half tribe of Manasseh. Well, there was another half tribe went into the promised land. But all these, that's why it takes justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to even get you to the promised land. Yes, sir. Then you got to enter into the promised land and fight your way. Because even Reuben and Gad and half-tribe Manasseh, they said, "We'll go in and fight." Listen, that's the Holy Ghost fighting your battles for you. And he positionally places us in the land. That's our mandate. That's our adoption, is our placing. But look right here, Brother Brown said, virtue must be in us. And until we get virtue, then when we get true virtue, we can add it to our faith. That's the next foundation wall. Now, first you must have faith. Faith alone won't do it. Peter said, then add virtue to your faith. You must have virtue in order to add it to your faith. Now, then it might be the reason you don't have it, because many churches of today teach you don't have to have it. That's just them old denominations. No, that's just them old message churches. Be quiet if you want to. But we got to have true teaching. We got to have somebody to teach us to get out of here. We're not just going to get out of here because there's a day on the calendar and it's just X and there's the day and that's the day we're going to go in the rapture and that's it. That's not right. We're Gentiles. We don't have a time. We don't have 1260 days. We don't have any kind of time. We're not told we have a day. No man knows the day or hour because we're Gentiles. But it's when the last one comes in and gets ready. They teach you don't have to have it of the days of its past. They don't have to have it. The only thing you have to do is just join a church. Yep, days is past. So real quick, if you look on the chart, you'll see that God down through the church ages, and I'll read the quote here in just a few minutes. God was building a body. This is the bride. This is the body of Christ. And he built it under the revelation of the Son of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Get the virtues in your life. Live a good Christian life. Isn't that what I read the quote the other day that Brother Branham gave us? But you and I are required further than that. You and I are required more of the open book. We're not required just what 7 church ages. Because the early church ages had these virtues. They had these virtues. We're trying to get them. And the early church already had them. Peter couldn't have preached it if he didn't already have it. All right, let's read the unveiling of God, 1964. But God is still made just to make the same. Notice, what does it do? It finally returns back to the original seed again. When he comes in the form of Martin Luther, when he comes in the form of John Wesley, when he comes in the form of the Pentecostals, he is supposed to reveal himself again like the same seed went in, the Son of Man. He revealed himself as Son of God through the stock age and so forth. But in this last age, he's to reveal himself as the Son of Man again. Get it? Congregation says amen. I doubt they got any of that. All right. Like the beginning, molded. And what does that stalk grow? It's growing all the time. That little stalk grows till it's not like the original grain. Neither was Luther's message. No. Along come the other message. Finney, Sankey, Knox, Calvin. What? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Right.
Believers. Listen. As I said before. Millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of Christians, ever how many Christians they are never going to hear of William Branham. Only this small group of people in the end time. And not just the ones that hear, the ones that what? Act on his message. It's going to be a very, very small group of people that's even going to know Brother Branham was even on this earth. That's why I thank God he gave me an opportunity. Let's don't squander it. Let's don't squander it. He gave you an opportunity that he didn't even give the Apostle Paul. And that's a revelation of the seals, the open book. Paul could see it by revelation. He could see there was something coming. I see through a glass darkly. I see, but I see Jesus. See, he come back. He come back. He said, but I see Jesus. He said, but I know there's something coming. Everybody, every prophet. Brother Brown said, what? Every prophet would want to what? Live in this day because they prophesied of this day right here. Finney, Sankey, Knox, Calvin on down, none of them. They were still the message. Listen to this. They were still the message, but what it was, they didn't get the complete revelation of it. Because it wasn't time. You can't put the ear on the corn before it's time to come. I planted corn the other day, as I said before. I got some really pretty rows, about 8 rows of them. I wanted to make it in eternity, so I did 8 rows. 8 rows of them. And I didn't go out there and start pulling them up and say, well, I got some cob right here on this corn. I'm going to start putting it in the freezer. No, you know what? You just pulled up the plant. And finally, there comes back again the original seed. Because one day in about 6 more weeks, I'm going to walk out there and that stalk that's about this tall now is going to be about this tall. And it's going to have went through a process. And it's going to have ears on it. And I can take that ear if it's heirloom corn, I can take that ear, I can put it up in a place, and I can dry it, and I can plant next year.
That's it.
Proving his word, Los Angeles. Listen, as I said the other night, he comes in 3 names, the Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. When he was on earth the first time, he was the Son of Man. He could not be the Son of God then. He never claimed to be. Because what is the Son of God? God in spirit form.
Right.
Everybody with me, say amen. Those of you that are asleep, can say amen.
Amen.
It is a little hot up here. Aaron, you got the... Is it this thing not working? We're, a lot of people are fanning. If you don't mind, come look at it and see. He's our HVAC guy. He's a good preacher, too.
Amen.
He said he was the Son of Man. When anybody would question him, he said, you see the Son of Man, the Son of Man. Now, Son of Man is a prophet. He had to come that way because the Scripture. He cannot come contrary to the Scripture. That's why today our message of this hour cannot come through theologians and theology. It's got to come back the same thing it promised to do. It must be that way. So we find out in this man, he had to be a prophet. Listen, Boaz was a man. He was a flesh and blood man. He had to do the rite of redemption to Ruth as a man. Because they were kin as a man.
Right.
Not Son of God. He had to be the Son of Man. Jehovah himself called the prophets, Jeremiah and them, Son of Man. When you see the Son of Man, who is the Son of Man? They kept asking. Then he served his office as the Son of Man on earth. Then he served his office now as Son of God. God is a spirit. And when now he served through the church ages as the Son of God. Everybody with me? So through the church, 7 church ages, he was the Son of God. What? God in spirit form, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, he is now living inside of the believers. But look, they are limited to the word that they get. They're limited to the word they get. Everybody with me on that? They're limited to the revelation that the prophet of their time brings. Because listen, God wanted it to be in this end time.
In the evening time it shall be light. Down here is where it's going to be perfected. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, we're not to be the son of baby. We're to be the son of man. I put away my childish things. And we know perfect meant a full age. I like this one, brought to its end. We're bringing this thing to an end. The Gentile dispensation will be brought to an end by the bride of Jesus Christ, realizing who she is and what she's doing here. Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. So the saints were being perfected down through the church ages, but they never did come to perfection because they without us cannot be made perfect. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, and that's our problem, we haven't. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? A perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the what? Truth in love. Amen. May grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. That's why, like yesterday, that at the nursing home there, or the assisted living home, that was parts working. Sisters were playing the guitar and playing the piano and playing this and playing that. Brother Bob was speaking and Brother Luis was singing, and we had singers, and we had people there clapping their hands, and we had support group there. That was the working of the body of Christ. You say, oh, Brother Wade, that was too simple. We thought maybe there had to be a halo in the room or something. Or there was. You just didn't see it. There was. Y'all brought a pillar of fire with you, didn't you? Okay. We're living below our means, I tell you again. Increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I want to read this one right here real quick. 1 Corinthians 14:19. Everybody believe the Bible's correct? Amen. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown language. 10,000 words in an unknown language. Apostle Paul said, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be children, because children are going to be children, but you got to grow up. But in understanding be men. In the law it was written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto his people. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Give me some prophecy. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them. He didn't keep them. He revealed them. To who? Trees? Cars? Buildings? Houses? No! Human flesh! There's got to be human flesh in the end time. For God to not just...
That's right. Hallelujah.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know the Spirit searches, and whatever you allow him to work in your life, he'll do it. He searches. He goes out through the building. He searches. I need this. All right, drop it down. I need this. Drop it down. I need the touch from God. Drop it down. I need a new birth. Drop it down. There's angels today. If we could see in another realm, I believe they're not just going like some of y'all are doing. Thank God angels don't sleep. My guardian angel would get me killed. But think about it. They're working all the time. another dimension that's faster than this one, and they're just working like crazy. Trying to give you some revelation. Trying to let the Holy Ghost work in your life. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit that's in him? That's exactly right. When you were in the world, you understood the world. But when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you ought to be able to understand God. Even the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Yes. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Yes. Which things also we speak not in the words of man's wisdom teaches. Not that's not knowledge to know how to make A's in school. That's Holy Ghost knowledge. To know whether I'm telling you the truth today or not. Know whether Brother Brown's telling you the truth. Know where a preacher's telling you the truth or not. But that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Listen, we are spiritual people. We should be spiritual people. Let that thing that's inside of you work its way out. You either got a devil spirit in you or you got God's spirit. There's only two. Amen? Then when we get that settled, we got to work on to the outside person. Sister Shepherd was worried about being born again. This is her dream. She dreamed she was on a mountain. He's talking about, I don't have the paper. I'm going to paraphrase down through here. I'm sorry. She dreamed that she saw a rock box, like a framework, sitting on top of this mountain. And her husband was just behind her, and she saw a large man standing there, work clothes on, sleeves rolled up, bailing the most pure water that she ever seen, and pouring it into this box. Pouring it into the box. Right. Now remember, the headstone hadn't come yet. Right. I got another, there's another over there that's got a different screen, but this is gone. So he was pouring it down in here, because this was the message he was to bring, the first part of his message. Everybody with me? Yeah. And the rock box would not hold the water. And it rolled right down there and just boiled up all the trash. Now, where was that trash coming from? It was coming from inside Sister Shepherd, because this was her. He was pouring the water in, water of the word in, and trash was coming out. Oh, Brother Wade, after the new birth, you got trash? Yes. Yes. Your memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination is trashy. Yes. And God is working on that. If you got the new birth, he's not working on your soul. It is him. That's right. He's working on your memories and conscious affection, imagination. And boiled up all the trash and sticks. Trash. And everything in there, and boiled it out. I like that. If you want to purify something, what do? You boil it. Boil it out and roll down that mountain. And it rolled right over her feet, and she was standing right in that stuff, only it didn't stick to her. It didn't stick to her. She was getting a revelation that that's not going to stick to her. It might have come out of her, but it's not going to stick. Amen? Let me read this real quick, and then we'll close. I'm going to skip this, and we'll talk about it next week. Brother Luis, y'all need to pray for him this Wednesday night. You love the Lord? That's some good stuff right there, but I'm going to pass through it. Watch this right here. Brother Wade, do I get everything I need as a new birth? Yeah, you get the whole house. You get the whole house. You are the house. But there's doors inside those doors. Thank God for a prophet. For in the human heart is just like the door there to the house. After you come in. Come in, sir. Sit down. Who's that? The Holy Ghost. Come in. Sit down. But these other little doors. I don't want you fooling around in my house. I want to speak in a few of those doors. All kinds of little private doors in your private life. Jesus can be in your savior, but... Don't you never try to tell me what to do, Lord. I know what I want to do, and don't you never try to rule me. That's the attitude of many people who profess Christianity. Am I hitting home somewhere? Brother Brown said in Klamath Falls, Oregon, in 1960, here's another sermon. You know, look, after you get inside of the door of the heart, You know, there's some more little doors in there. Lots of little doors in the house. You go and have a little closet here and a little room over here and a little room over here. There's several doors. Many people are ready to welcome the Lord into their heart because they don't want to go to hell. But they don't want him to be Lord when he comes in. Well, if I come into your house and say, welcome in, Brother Branham. Well, you know what I'd do? I'd come in, go down to the refrigerator, get me a piece of cheese and some bologna. I would too. And slice me off a piece of onion and cut me some bread and mustard on it and some lettuce. I'm hungry. And everything. And go in and take off my shoes and lay across the... You wouldn't do that in Mama's house. Don't try to do that in her house. Okay. And lay across the... That's a duofold. Or across the bed and eat the sandwich. You won't eat a sandwich in Mama's bed either. And drink a soft drink. Brother Brown's making a point. He's making himself at home. The Holy Ghost is feeling comfortable, but... Hang up your hat. If you said welcome, I'd take you at your word. But do you really welcome the Lord Jesus? Take him at his word? So can you take us at our word? Now let's look around some of these little doors in the heart for the next few minutes. The first little door you turn to is a door there called pride. Oh my. You know, you don't want to know Jesus standing in that door. Because he'll take all of it out of you. He swings that door right open. Oh, if you could, you say, now, wait a minute, Jesus. You can save me. But don't go to messing around in my pride. Everybody still believe Brother Brown was a prophet. Everybody got quiet. So, okay, just make sure. Make sure I hadn't transmigrated into another place. You can save me, but don't you go to messing around with my pride. Now, if I'm going to have to stand up there and act like some of these people do, I couldn't do it. Then he's not welcome. Let me say this. He won't stay very long either. You can just depend on that. I wouldn't stay if you told me that. You wouldn't stay if I told you that. So won't stay if we tell him that. Pride. Well, now I tell you, Brother Branham, if I'm going to have to get down there on that altar and cry and make my girlfriend hate me, my boyfriend turn me down. My wife tells me I'm a holy roller. My husband says I've lost my mind. Now, if you're going to do that, something like that, stay out, Jesus. That's just exactly what they say. So much, I'll not do it. Those virtues will unlock every door in your personal life, your private life, the things in your memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination that are bothering us and keeping us in this world. That's what we got to clean up next, is our memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. And I'm going to tell you something else. That love that's up there on top of that pyramid, that ain't a love that you know until you get to there. Sure, you get a little piece of it at the new birth. You get perfect love, but it's a little bitty piece of it. Brother Brown said a button. Did he not say? He said you get the Holy Ghost, you get a little button. That button has got to grow, though. But that love up there is not love like you love your wife. It's not love like you love your family. It's not love that you say, I love to play ball. I love to do this. I love to sing. I love to play instruments. That ain't the love that's talking about. When we get to that love, it's probably going to burn or hide. Because it's God's love. And his love is corrective. And his love is what? Pure. Unadulterated. There is no ulterior motive in that love. I love my wife because. Because what? Because she cooks good? Looks good? Zach's going, yeah. Can she cook? Man. Sister Edie's going, yes. Yeah, thank you for that. Poor Zach, he won't have to eat out. We eating out no more. But listen. As we love God with whatever we've got, it's just a little bit above filial love. Come on. Memory, reason, conscious, affection. Most of our love is affection. we have for here. But when you love God, we're supposed to give him everything we got. Because his love is unconditional to us. Our love should be unconditional back to him. But we don't. We have conditions, Brother Branham. Pride. He keeps on down. I didn't read all of them, man. He goes through a bunch of them. But that's what's going to happen when we go through that statue of perfect man, when we go through those virtues. Those are not virtues that man knows anything about. Those are the virtues of Almighty God. Contrary to everything we've ever seen, virtue, you know, live a virtuous life and be a virgin. Brother Branham said, that ain't it. He said, that virtue is strength. That virtue is power. That virtue is something you got to have already inside of you. He said, oh, Brother Branham said, I'll just get some virtue. You can't buy this. It has to be developed inside of you. You have to be born again by the Spirit of God. And then let those things work. Let God in. And let him, if he has to, kick the door down. Let's stand to our feet. Let him have his way. Have we really done that? I ask myself the same question. Have we really done that? Just let him have his way? No, sometimes we get in the way. Most of the time, we get in the way. That's our problem. We've been in the way a long time. We need to get out of the way. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Musicians, come. We'll sing one song. Then we'll go to the baptismal service. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. I hope you at least you listened enough to stir something up in your heart. I want you to study. I want you to say, what is that man talking about if you've never heard that before? What do you mean we got to go further in God? Listen, you don't want your kids to stay babies. Oh, they're beautiful. They're young. They're sweet. They're innocent. I want mine to grow up. You don't want, God wants us to grow up, not be babies, and not have to be babied. Listen, God's coming back after a wife. He's not coming back after a bride. His wife has made herself ready. His wife has made herself ready. The Armour Meatpacking Girl, she didn't just lay down for a year and not do nothing in the story. No, I believe she said, all right, this is the day he's coming and I got to be ready. I got to get on the right garment. I got to make sure I can learn to cook and I can learn to make clean clothes and I can learn to wash the dishes. You know I'm talking about spiritual. We got to learn these virtues and let them become a part of our life to where we don't have to be made to do it. We want to do it. I'm not made to love Jim. I love her. I love her with all my heart. It's a relationship that we've developed with each other. Have we made that relationship with God? Have we developed? Y'all know as well as I do, when you first got married, you didn't know a lot about each other. It was mainly for one thing, companionship, lust. Getting to live with a wife and somebody that's pretty and you think they smell good. But what do you do afterwards? You develop. You start talking about things. Hey, you want to have some kids? Yeah, let's have some kids. You want to do this? You want to do that? You develop into those things. You're lying if you said, oh, I love my wife now as much as I did the day I married her. No, I don't think so. Come on, somebody. Can you say that about God? The day you got born again, are you still just that little bit in love when you should be so in love with him? Some of us have been Christians 20, 30, 40, 50 years. What's our issues? We need virtue. Knowledge, temperance, patience, God. That's why these virtues are so important. And they're being so ill taught in the message. We need these virtues to get to where the capstone can come down. It's got to come down on that. Amen. We'll get to that eventually. But that's what's got to settle down on to. Is the what? The whole bride of Jesus Christ, letting all those virtues work in their life. And then the headstone's going to come and set down on top. Then we're going to take a body change. Then we're going to really, you're going to see the power of the church then. Amen. Brother Brown said, we'll see it, and I believe we will. Amen. We'll see a church on fire. And not just on fire, but it'll do the will of God. Yes. And not back up. Amen. Be able to speak, and it happened. Not have to cry and beg and try to find a pastor.
Come on. Right. Yes. Come
Okay? That's what we're heading to. That's why we need these virtues, and we need them working in our life. We need them working so that we can work toward this Son of Man revelation, which is what? The seals, and it's the thunders, and all. We'll get into that later on, but don't let that muddle your mind up. Let's just all make sure we're born again. Let's all make sure that foundation is real sturdy. Then let's start building the house. You can't start building a house from the walls down or from the roof down. You start from the what? Foundation up. Start with the foundation. If you're not born again, listen, what Brother Dale always tell us? He said, seek God every day of your life and ask for the new birth. He said, I'd rather know I had it 20 years ago than for me to think I had it 20 years ago and don't have it now. Seek God every day. Every day. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. God, give me, Lord, these virtues. Give me these promises. They're mine. I'm your child. I'm crying out. Listen, if one of your little babies was in a crowd of people, you've done it before. You've been in different places, and your kids start screaming, Daddy or Mama. You know exactly whose voice that is. Right, sisters? You can pick that voice out from 5,000 people standing in a stadium, and somebody goes, Mama! What's the first thing you do? Say, that's my kid. Now, all the other mothers are mothers, right? But they didn't hear that voice. That's the same way with God. That's why there's going to be silence in heaven, because God's going to be listening to his bride. God's not going to be listening to angels. He's going to be listening to his bride, because his bride's going to have something to say. We are going to have something to say in this world. To take a body change, we're going to have something to say. We got to have something to say that no one else has said is death. You will not destroy this body. Death come up your sleeve. We get scared of the toothache. We get scared of our heart or flutter. Me, I'm talking about me. Your heart starts fluttering. The first thing you do is look for nitroglycerin pills. We're just not to the point yet. I'm sorry, but we're getting there. Amen. I believe we keep striving and keep driving. I believe we'll get there. Amen. To where we speak and God will back it up. Amen. We've seen it already happen in a small portion in this church. We've seen the third pull happen several times here where things have been spoken into existence, spoke out of existence. Spoken to where these things were and where they were not. We've seen that several times here in this church. Dead raised by just the screaming of a brother's name. Just like Jesus at Lazarus' tomb. Same thing. We've seen it here in part. But I want to see it like Brother Brown said one time, pop like popcorn. Have you ever been to a place where they got these big, we got them downstairs. We got a big popcorn popper. And buddy, when all them pop, all those corn, when it gets hot, when all that corn starts popping, man, it goes pop, 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 pop. You just can't hear anything but the popping of the corn. That's what I want in this church. That's what I want in us. I want it just pop. Every service, I want something to pop. Amen?
Amen.
Devil will definitely, he will get agitated, and I know he's going to, but that's okay. That's his job. But you know what? God's job is to protect us. Sing a song. Then we're going to go have a baptism.
Sing about the original life.
God's attributes were manifested in his bride in this last day. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we is the poor. Praise the Lord. The original life. The original life. The original seed. Seventh seal is unveiled. we were did chained down in the past. True Jubilee has sounded. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentiles' days soon be over. Glory and hallelujah to our God, who the original light,
sing it to them.
The original light, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled. The original light, the original seed.
You believe that? That's us. Every song was written, Brother John. He knows that being song leaders, there was a group that came by and they sang, "I'll Fly Away." Some glad morning when this life is o'er. Then there's a group that come by and they sang, "My name is written in heaven." Then we got a group that comes by and they sing about the blood. Then, you know, "I'll Fly Away," and it says, "Well, we're gonna die." Talks about dying. Well, these songs that we're singing now, the bride songs, we've raised it up a notch. We've got a revelation that somebody's not going to die. Somebody's going to walk off this world without seeing any piece of death whatsoever. Oh, death may be all the way around us, but somebody is going to stand like Jesus did at the tomb of Lazarus and say, "Saints, come out of the ground." And they're not going to die. "I can't die. I'll be raptured by and by. I'll fly away." Amen. God bless you. If you want to be baptized, sisters, get with Sister June. If brother wants to be baptized, see Brother Terrence. We need to go and get that circulator out from there and take all the stuff off of it. I think he's going down. But if you want to be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, the water's ready. I know we got one for sure, may have two or three, but please, don't rest until you get everything right and we get into the steps. And just like Sister Ruth, she said, "I'm putting a stake down right here. This is it. No more." And let that spiritual rudder take us somewhere. Let that thing give us... We got a journey. You're on a human journey anyway. So let's make it a human journey with God. Amen. Let's make it. Let's meld the human journey with God, and then let's walk in God in our human journey, because we are going to be in a human journey until we take a body change. It's going to be a human journey. We're going to have trials and tribulations, heartaches, but there's going to be a city that we're going to live in. No sorrow, no pain. When we enter that city, when the redeemed are gathering in, the saints are all going to listen. Because they cannot join this song. They can't sing the song of redemption. Because they never were redeemed. So they're going to have to be silent when we walk in that city. But I'll promise you one thing's for sure. We will not be silent. We will not be silent, because we'll know where we come from. And we'll know where we ended up at. The angels all will listen. For they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Let's dismiss. Dear Lord, thank you this day that you give us. Father, we pray that we continue in the furtherment of the service downstairs, Lord, in the baptismal pool. That, Lord, truly we're going to a funeral today. We're going to see a death, a dying out and leaving in the water and come up in newness of life. Father, we pray for each one that's here, Lord, the ones that's come to visit with us that's going to have to travel back long distance maybe. We thank you for them coming, Lord, and we appreciate them, Lord. We pray that you would just be with the regular ones here, Lord, that you'll take care of us this week, Father. We got Memorial Day tomorrow. Lord, thank you for all the ones that have given their life, Lord. It's a memorial, Lord, and I pray that you'll remember those people that did give their life, Lord, for this freedom that we have. And, Lord, that you'll bless us and take care of us, Lord, and the rest of this week, Lord, as be with Brother Luis on Wednesday night, Lord, as he comes and brings a word to us, Lord. Just keep us strong. Strengthen us, Lord, in your word, Father, and also naturally, Lord. I pray that you'd now be with us. If there be any sick among you, among us, you said you sent the word and healed us, Lord, and delivered us from destruction. So as we go forward, Lord, I pray that the guardian angels will be right with us, Lord, and take care of us, Lord, in our journey. Father, just bless us and be with us now. Bless our pastor. Keep him strong, Lord, and take care of each one that's sick, Lord, in the building. Father, and the ones that are not here, the ones that are watching online, we pray that you'd be with them, Lord, today. Father, Lord, give us today our daily bread. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You're dismissed. Let's head on to the baptismal pool.
The word made flesh today, this is what the scriptures say, and our names are seen.